Welcome to the Limitless Church Podcast. In today's episode, you'll be hearing from Bishop Scotty Scott as he starts a brand new series called Walk This Way. This first message is titled Step Up. We hope you enjoy it.
Oh, give the Lord a praise in this house. Look at your neighbor and say, just fall back in his goodness. Just fall back. Just fall back. Just fall back. He's so good. He's so good. He's so good. He doesn't know how to do anything but good. He's just so good. He's determined to do good. Every time he looks at you, he thinks good. Because he doesn't know how to think about you evil. Because he's a good God. And all he sees is the goodness of the Lord in you. God, oh, touch somebody. Say, he wants to do something good for you today. He wants to do something good for you today. He's not angry. He's not mad. The song's not, God is so mad. God is so mad. No. He's good. So good. In fact, the goodness of the Lord causes a man to repent. You didn't change because he was mad. You changed when you found out he was good. And everything he's ever done in your life has been for your good. Even when he corrected you, it was for your good. Anybody ever had him correct you? If you've ever had God correct you, lift your hand. I believe like right now in this generation, it's good for us to understand that the correction of the Lord is good. Yeah. Yeah. Whom the Lord loves, He corrects, that they might know that they are a son and not a bastard. That's the Bible, not me. I didn't call nobody a bastard. He said that you may know. Am I quoting the right Bible? It means the correction of the Lord lets you know you're His. The correction of the Lord knows you. That means the correction of the Lord doesn't come because He's angry. The correction of the Lord doesn't come because He's mad. The correction of the Lord comes because He's good. God does not correct out of anger. Woo. God does not correct out of anger. God is not a reactive parent. Oh, anybody have that moment as a parent where you had to hold yourself? Oh, no, just me, just the bishop. I know you have so much self-control. Anybody ever have to apologize for overcorrecting? I'm not saying anybody's been abusive. That's not what I'm saying. There's a big difference between overcorrection and abuse. Can I get an amen? Amen. You ever had to go back and say, you know what? I should have handled that. I should have corrected you, but I should have. God's never had to apologize. Because he's never corrected, overcorrected out of wrath. Anytime he's corrected, it's been out of love and goodness. If you've ever been corrected, just lift your hands right now. If you've ever had God correct, God, see, we that's why we don't attain to wisdom. That's why we don't grow. It's because the wisdom of the Lord can only be attained attained by correction and instruction. And God wants you to receive His correction so that He can bring you into His wisdom and into His promise in your life. Lift your hands right now and just say, God, I trust You. I trust that everything You're doing in my life is good. I thank You, God, for everything You've ever spoken, everything You've done, every time You've had to pull me back into place, every time You've ever had to bring alignment into my life and change something in my life. You're changing me into good. You're changing me for good. In fact, all things are working together for my good. Woo! Look at your neighbor and say, God's about to do something so good for you. God's about to do something so good for you. God's about to do something so good for you. God is about to do something so good. If you have your Bible, stand with me. I want to get right in this word today. Anybody sense the presence of God like I do today? Amen. I know there's announcements. We'll get them at the end. But I know we have baptism today. I want to jump right into it today. Amen. And I'm so thankful for those that are going to be baptized today. Ain't that awesome? Amen. And we got our makeshift hot tub Baptacuzzi out there. We've been calling it the Baptacuzzi. Amen. We're going to be out there on the hillside and just believing God and thanking God for the steps in people's lives. Amen. Amen. And so I'm grateful and thankful. I want you to turn with me to Psalms 37. Stand with me for the Word of God. We're going to go to Psalms 37. We're about to start a new series. I'm thankful, grateful for this series. There is a Word of the Lord for somebody in this place today. I feel like everything, every song that's been sung, everything that's been done has been leading us to this very, very place right where God's taking us. Are you ready to hear from God? If you are, say amen. It reads, the steps of a good man. Touch your neighbor, say it's the steps. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Verse 24, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord will uphold him. Verse 25, I have been young, and now am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken. Or God's seed begging bread. Look at your neighbor and say, it's impossible for me to beg. Now, I didn't go to this in the first service. I just led them to this place, but y'all get the whole deal. Y'all ready? Turn me to Genesis. Genesis chapter 5. And Enoch, verse 21 through verse 24. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God. After he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. Verse 23. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. Oh, that's bad right there. You're about to be introduced to one of my favorite characters in all Scripture. Hebrews 11, verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. Wow. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God
Look at your neighbor, say, tell God I'm coming, I'm coming, I'm coming, I'm coming. Tell God I'm coming. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Verse 5. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because he had, God had translated him, for he, before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And Enoch walked with God. I want to minister for a few moments. The subject of this series is walk this way. Today's message is step up. Touch your neighbor, say it's time for a step up. It's time to step up. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your presence, your anointing. Speak, touch, move in the short time we have. Do something everlasting in this place. Everlasting in our lives. Everlasting in our hearts. Take somebody from faith to faith and from glory to glory. Take someone from where they've been to where you're calling them. Take someone, God, through a place of translation and transition that moves them into a realm they've never dreamed they could walk before, higher, deeper, further, and we'll give you glory for it. Change us today into what we shall be in a way we've never been. And I give you glory, and no other name gets praised. One name's lifted in this house, that name of our King, the name above all names, that name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. As you're seated, turn to your neighbor and say, it's time to step up. Whoo! Are y'all ready? Let's go, let's get down. Psalm says this. It says, the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. Something that you've got to begin to understand about God and in God and in the kingdom of God is that there are no elevators in the kingdom. There are no escalators in the kingdom. In order for you to walk into anything into the kingdom, you have to take the steps. Look at them and say, you got to take the steps. You got to take the steps. You got to take the steps. That means not only are steps talking about a walk, but steps are always also talking about stages. That God is the God of steps. God can do things instantly. God can do things suddenly. God can do things automatically. God can do things with immediate, right now, suddenly experiences. But what God does to get you to that suddenly, to that immediately, is not suddenly. There is a suddenly moment where God moves, but what takes you and gets you to that move is not suddenly, it's steps. Because God suddenly shows up when you've gone through the steps that are necessary to bring the suddenly. Oh, is anybody with me right now? God is a builder. God is a builder. God is a master builder. And so when God is a master builder, God stepped out very first day of all creation, could have spoke all creation into existence with one word. He could have said, let it all be, and it could have all been. But God takes 7 days to do what he could have done with one word. Why? It's because the way God moves is not instantly. It's through stages and progressions and through a progress and steps and stages of development, because God is a systematic God. God is a God who always produces his plans through a system of God that produces the results of God. That means he could have done day seven on day one, but he took 7 days. Not because he can't do all 7 days in one day. It's because he wants you to know from the beginning how he's going to bring the completion of a thing. It's not going to be in an immediate in your life. It's going to be in stages and steps and a process to a fulfillment. Huh? Touch your neighbor and say, it's a process. It's a process. We want to talk about the promise, but we don't want to talk about the process. But God will bring his promise in your life immediately. God will bring you into a suddenly, and your promise that God has said will show up in a moment. But what takes you and gets you to that promise is not going to be in a moment. It's the process that's going to bring forth the promise. And we've raised a generation now who wants promise but no process. I shared with the early service, I said, we have an Instamatic stir-fry, shake-and-bake, microwave, Google generation. Look at them say, there's an app for that. There's an app for that. What? Anything. There's an app for that. There's an app for how much water you'll drink this year. Is anybody hearing me right now? Like you can't count your own water bottles? There's an app for all of it. And there's an app for it. And so we're an app thing. We're like, oh, where's the app? Where's the Google? Push the button. It's done. You've got libraries in your palm. You've got things that used to take buildings upon buildings upon buildings to accumulate of information in the palm of your hand with a button. So this generation is not used to the process of getting in my car, going to a library, looking through microfiche. Anybody remember microfiche? Look it up. Google it. Because we want a button. See, but I remember, I told first session, I said, I remember being in fifth grade and they brought the first Macintosh computer into my classroom. It was Macintosh. It wasn't Apple. It was a Macintosh. It was like huge. And it had real floppy disks. Like floppy disk. And I remember them teaching us at fifth grade, they were gonna teach us the first steps of computer programming. And we sat down and they said, all right, the first line you need to type in is 10. And then they had this line that started with let. That 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 that. That's the command. Line 20. Go to and line 20 was dependent on line 10. Line 20 would tell you what to do with what was on line 10. See, we have an instant app mindset as a consumer. But the app developer, the code writer, knows that the app didn't just show up in your phone. It had to be built. And there's a whole lot of steps in what you just took one step to push a button. Behind that, it just went. But that.
is multiple megabytes and gigabytes of steps being done in a moment, but it took all those steps being programmed in order for you to push the button. See, we have a generation that thinks in God, you just push the button and instantly you become everything he intended you to be. But the devil is a liar. In reality, for you to really be who God called you to be, there's not an app for that. Oh, look at them and say, there's no app for this. There's no app for this. There's no app for this. That means you're going to have to go through the process, and you're going to have to go through the steps, and you're going to have to go through the building process of becoming everything God called you to be and walking in everything God called you to walk. Ooh, look at them and say, it takes steps. It takes steps. It takes steps. The steps, the stages. The stages. God's so much a God of stages that on day one, he just turns the lights on. He turned around and said, let there be light, and there was light. And he turned around and saw the mess of the world and the condition of what he was working with. And when he saw the light come on, he turned around and said, it's good. Whoa. This is where we're not good with that good. We're good with day seven good. We're not good with day one good. Because we're frustrated with day two when we're at day one. Because we should be at day two. We should be at day five. We should be at day seven. For one moment, can you look back? I know you're not where you want to be. But can you look over your shoulder for a minute and see where you used to be? That's good. I'm not there yet, but it's good. It's not done yet, but it's good. I don't have the whole room painted, but that wall is good. And I want somebody to begin to celebrate the stages of your development. I want somebody to begin to celebrate in the midst of the process, though the process is not completed yet. I want you to celebrate the fact that you're still in the process. I want you to celebrate the fact that you're somewhere further in the process than you were yesterday, because yesterday I was at that step. At today, I'm at this step, and this step is not the only step, but where I've been and where I am is good. Oh, somebody shout, it's good. What I'm walking through right now, it's good. What I'm facing right now is good. The thing God's dealing with and working on in my life right now, this is good. The steps of a good man, of a righteous man, are ordered. That means if you're going to follow God, you gotta be willing to walk the steps. That in reality, this thing comes down to a walk. This thing comes down to one step after another. That if you're going to, I looked up, there's 334 times scripturally of the word walk or walked. That from the beginning of this Bible to the end of this Bible, he never tells you to stop walking. It's a journey. It's a walk, and it's going to take you one step at a time. Then how do I know when I'm getting there? How do I know? I love this text. And I'm going to brief it because I'm getting to Enoch. And I don't want to take all day because we got Baptist. And I'm just here to start a thing. You with me? You gonna hang with me this month? Look at your neighbor and say, we about to walk somewhere. We about to walk somewhere. He says, the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. That means it's not enough just to be walking, but you're walking under orders. That means you can't just get to where God's taking you just going anywhere. That means your ability to walk into what God has called you to is your ability to follow the command of God.
Look at your neighbor and say, can you follow orders? See, I'm messing with where we are in church right now so bad. Because the two things we can't do is we can't go through process and we can't follow orders. We don't like to follow. We like to lead. We like to lead. I mean, I've never seen a ministry hold a following webinar. I didn't sign up for the follow webcast, but I followed up. I signed up for the Limitless Leader webcast. God's leader, kingdom leaders. I follow leading ladies, leading men of the league, leading the next generation, leading into the, because everybody wants to be the lead. But the secret is not in the lead. The secret is in the follow. Oh, he told his disciples, lead with me and I will make you fishers. see, we want to walk. He didn't even say walk with me. See, this really ain't about your walk with God. This is really about your walk behind God. He said, follow me and I will make you. He could have made them that moment. He could have made them fishers of men in that moment. But could he? But could he? He could have given them the power to be, but just because you have the power to be the fisher of men doesn't make you. Because you're always anointed before you're appointed. Because you always have the gift for it before you step in the office of it. Oh, you're always anointed for the place before you're prepared for the place. So just because you're anointed for it doesn't mean you're prepared for it. It means you can be anointed for it, got the goods for it. Jesus was in the temple at age 12. He had the anointing. He was expounding and blowing the minds of the rulers of the synagogue in the church. He had the gifts. He had the anointing. Who knew who he was? Knew he was the father, about the Father's business. Knew all of it. But he didn't start his ministry at age 12. He waited 18 more years to age 30. Why? It's because I'm anointed, but I'm not yet appointed, because between my anointing and my appointing is the process of my preparation. Because now God's got it on me, but now he's not preparing it for me. He's preparing me for what's already on me, because I'm dressed for an occasion. I'm dressed for an occasion. I'm dressed for a moment. I'm dressed for a place I'm not at yet. I can remember. I was somewhere, and I was going to some kind of gala that was happened to be at a beach resort. It happened to be at a beach resort conference center, and it was this big gala. And I got in the elevator from being upstairs in the room, and I had put on a tux because it was like a black tie gala, and the conference center was in the basement. And so I put on the tux, got in the elevator, and started going down the elevator. Well, when I got on the elevator in a tux, everybody else, because it was at a beach, came in flip-flops. They walked in the door. They hit the button, opened the door. They were in flip-flops, had sand all over them, beach towel, smelled like cocoa butter. Hair, beach hair, don't care. They're just like, what's up, man? Where you going?
Look at you. Look at you. What you doing? And it's like I had to apologize because like it's like where I was didn't line up with what I had on. Oh, where I was didn't line up with what I had on. I had something on that didn't fit where I was, and I had to explain to them, I'm going somewhere. I had to explain to them where I'm going for them to be able to appreciate what I was wearing. See, somebody's upset because what you got on doesn't fit where you are. And what you have to understand is that I'm not going to take this off. I'm not going to put my shorts on. I'm not putting flip-flops on because what I got on me ain't built for here. What I got on me is built for somewhere. And when I get to where I'm going, it will fit right in. Looking at me, say, I'm dressed for an occasion. God puts it on you and then prepares you for what is on you for where you're going. There's people that it would blow your mind to see where he's taking you. Everything in the Bible was for about this walk. From the beginning on, every person that he ever dealt with. You know, even when he got ready to restore Adam, he was behind the bush when he was hiding. But for his restoration process, he didn't just show up and manifest behind the bush. The Bible said, and the voice of the Lord walked through the cool of the day. It's because I'm walking to where you are because it's going to take a walk to bring you back from where you've been. And I just need you to follow me and know that I know the way back from this to where I've called you to be if you'll just follow my walking voice. There's deeper there. I'm not going. And he says, it's one step at a time. And it brings me to my text because, and there's so much we're going to get into this month. Because one of my favorite people in all the scriptures is in this text that we're in. He's hardly even mentioned. He's mentioned just two times. But this dude, don't limit the scripture length to the magnitude of who he is. Look at him say, Enoch is bad. Enoch is bad. I looked at this scripture and it's blown my mind. It's become the challenge of my life. Because the Bible says this of Enoch. It says, Enoch walked with God and was not. For God took him. You know what that took him means? Hebrews 5:11 lets us know. It says, 11 and 5 says, Enoch did not see death, for God translated him. There's only two dudes in all of Scripture that did not go to the grave. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Elijah gets caught up in a chariot of fire. The only other dude that never died is this dude. Enoch walked. I was like, what did this guy do? I mean, Elijah, we get to see fire from down on the mountain, 450 prophets of Baal. We get to see exploits. We get to see manifestation. We get to see the spirit of Elijah. We get to see the mantle of Elijah. We get to see him sweating things and doing things and calling things down. And we can understand why God wants to just take somebody like that. But here's the whole thing of Enoch. Enoch, no fire from heaven, no wind, no fire, no demonstration, no prophecy, no sitting anything. Enoch, what'd you do, man? What was the deal, man? What makes God? What kind of walk do you have to have? What kind of walk do you have to have? What kind of walk do you have to have for God to go, you know what? I like you so much, I don't even want you to have to go through dying. I like you so much, I don't even like the space between me and you down there. I just want you right here with me. Enoch, I want to take you. What? What kind of? I was like, God, what kind of walk do you got to have with you? For you just to beam me up. Because all he's got is this. Enoch walked with God and was not. But before he was translated, here's my. I said, God, how righteous did this dude have to be for him just to have the kind of walk with you? You know what God said to me? He said, you want to know why you stand and look at that and stand in awe? It's because you saw his last step. You weren't there at the first. He said, Enoch walked with God, and you saw his was not. I mean, he took one step on earth, and the next step in glory. That's bad. He said, you saw the end of his walk. You really can't appreciate it until you were there. Because you saw when Enoch was not, but there at the beginning, he was. See, and I don't know who I'm talking to, but somebody in this room, there's some things you want God, you want not to be. There's some things that you don't want to be in your life anymore. You want something that has been to be not. God, I want to step into until what is behind me is not in front of me anymore. Until where I've been has to let go of me and to step into where you're taking me. There's some things that was. There's some things that have been. There's some things, God, that are even are. But I want what was to become what's not. And God said, don't sweat it. Because just like Enoch, I know the way from what was into what was not. And I'm leading you into what's not. I just need you to grab onto my hand while it still is. I need you to hold my hand and know whatever you're in, if you don't stop walking, if you just don't stop stepping, if you just don't stop going with me, I'm going to walk you from was into was not. In fact, look back over your life and see what was and what's not. God said, I'm not done with your was not. I'm not done. Paul said it this way, this one thing, I don't count that I've apprehended. I'm not there yet. I haven't arrived yet. I'm not all the way to where he's taken me. I'm not everything he's called me to be. But this one thing I've learned to do, I forget those things that are behind me, and I press. I reach toward the mark of the prize of the high calling. I found out the secret, Paul says. The secret is never stopping the walk. The secret is that no matter what's going on, keep walking. No matter what you're facing, keep walking. After all, the race is not given to the run. The race is given to the walk, because the race is not given to the swift, but the race is given to those that know how to, when everything's fighting you, to keep taking another step. I'm walking, but I'm getting there. I'm walking. I'm not fast. I haven't arrived. It didn't come as quick as I thought, but I'm not quitting here. I'm not giving up now. I'm not throwing in the towel. Yes, God, I will take another step. Yes, God, I'll keep holding on to your hand. Yes, God, I'm going to keep walking with you. And God said to tell somebody in this room, he's taking you there one step at a time. And until you can embrace the step, you can't ever get to your suddenly. There's a reason they were in an upper room. The upper room of their suddenly. Why didn't God do it on the first floor? Because I got to see, before I give you your suddenly, are you willing to take these last? And I'm calling you higher, one step at a time. Oh, I feel the glory. There's more here, but I feel this in my spirit right now. Anybody receiving something right now in this room? Is somebody? Are you willing? Take the step. Are you willing? He's calling you higher, but it's a climb. He's calling you higher. Notice something. He said, follow me and I'll make you. The making was in the follow. If you quit following, I quit making. Because until you can follow, I can't make. You want to know why some people only get partial of God's plan in their life? It's not because he stopped making. It's because they stopped following. And I love it, this passage. Why? Is because he says, the steps of a good man, righteous man, are ordered of the Lord. And then it says, but though he stumble and fall, it doesn't mean along this path. It means you can be holding God's hand. You can be walking with God and still fall. See, the fall is not a sign that you've let go of God. See, somebody in here, you need to understand there's a difference between your falter and your failure. You might have faltered, but it wasn't your failure. The righteous man falls 7 times. But every time, he's still righteous, not because he didn't fall, He's righteous because he didn't let his falter become his failure. He keeps on getting up. Your neighbor say, keep walking. He said, even if he falters, the Lord will uphold him. How many have ever fell in your walk with God? Oh, like no hands now. Oh, Lord, let the bishop put up all his limbs for somebody. I will intercede for you. I will stand in proxy. Not on whether you fall or not. Whether you keep going. Because he says this, though he fall and stumble and fall, the Lord will uphold him. Watch this. And then he says, I've been young. And I've been old. And I've never seen the righteous forsaken. Or God's seed begging bread. What he's saying is, stage, verse 23 is, just start walking with God. Verse 24 is, you're going to have some falls along the way. Verse 25 is, what gets me here and what makes you arrive is not that you didn't go through something. It's that you kept walking for him to show you he will not forsake you. I've been young and I've been old. I can see David speaking to Solomon this and saying, man, I've been a mess in my life. I've fallen so many times. I was a murderer. I was an adulterer. I did all kinds of mess that God should have abandoned me for. But this one thing I just never did. I never stopped chasing him. I never stopped pursuing him. I was a man after God's heart. Is because my follow. Because you want to know why I made it, Solomon. Is because as a deer panted for the water brook, so my soul, it thirsts for him. My flesh longs for him. When he said, seek ye my face, I wasn't perfect, but I said, thy face will I seek. I'm here because of Solomon, and I made it here. Why? Is it because you didn't fall? No, it's but because I said, I follow hard after you. I will not quit. I will not give up. I will keep walking until I become everything he said I would be. And I came this morning on the beginning of this series to speak strength for your step. Whatever step you're on, there's another calling you. And God is saying, will you take the step? Will you? He didn't walk with God and wasn't a wow. But God translated suddenly. One step, natural. Next step, glory. But nobody sees all the other steps along the way. They're going to see you when you step into your thing, but they don't know what that thing took. They're going to see you when you step on the stage, but they weren't there when you had to build the stage you're standing on. Is anybody with me right now? They're going to see you in your glory. But you can't appreciate my glory until you know my story. Because the real glory is not where I am. The glory is in my story. If you saw where I was, if you saw my testimony, you might question whether I please God at all. Because there were some moments that my please God was not pleasing God. But what pleased God? That in the moments when I didn't please him, I didn't let go of him until I became what pleased him. And I won't stop walking. Stand with me all over this room. I feel the glory. of the Lord. Look at your neighbor and say, walk this way, walk this way, walk this way. Walk. He's going, show me God. Make me God. Make me God. Develop me God. I say yes to the walk. I say yes to the walk.
You've heard me share the scripture, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You've heard me say that it looks regressive, but it's really progressive, that it looks like you're soaring, then you're running, then you're walking, and that looks like it's regressive because, like, you always need to walk before you run, run before you fly. But it starts out saying you will mount up with wings as eagles, run and not be weary, walk and not faint. And I always tell you that it's because you're, when you get to the walk, you're not at your point of departure, you're at your point of arrival. And you're right on the spot of where he called you to when you're walking. Why? Watch this. Because when God really brings it to pass, it ain't when you're flying. When God's really ready to bring it all to pass, it's not that prophecy service night where God prophesied the promise and you just felt, woo! You know what God promised me? God gonna bring it to pass. Woo! God gave me, there's some lady in here that said, God gave me the three M's. He promised me three M's. Money, man, and ministry. He's gonna do it. He's gonna bring it. He's gonna. And you were just soaring. You were like expecting, when I walk out this door, it's weight. And you were soaring on the word, soaring on the promise. And then it didn't just happen that night, but you're still running with it. You're like, God, I don't know when you're going to do it, but you're going to do it. And I'm running, God. I'm coming after. I'm walking. And everything's moving fast. And you were growing so fast. And everything was moving so quick. And you saw God developing you and speaking to you and doing things all around you every day. And you're like, wow, God, man, you're awesome. I'm running with it. It's going to come into pass. And they that wait upon the Lord means, watch this, wings, take up wings, run, walk. You're waiting, but your wait is not a standstill. You're flying, running, and what it means, while you're waiting, you're still moving. But when God's going to bring it to pass is not in the moments when you thought it was a sore. Where, God, you know you're at your place of God's promise coming to pass in your life. When there's a fight between weary and walk. You shall take up wings as eagles, run, knock you weary, walk and not faint. When there's a fight between becoming so weary that you feel like fainting, or finishing? Do I faint or do I keep walking till it's finished? And today I came to release a finisher's anointing. I came to release a strength to endure, a strength to keep moving, a strength to not give up. Because right at the moment of fainting means you're right at the place of your finish. And it's always when God's about to do it that the fight between fate and finish sees, will you take another step to keep walking?
Oh God, look at your neighbor, say, take another step, take another step, take another step, take another step, take another step. If you're standing that close to them, I want you to put your arm around them, because if you're that close, you're already safe. Unless you got 6-foot arms. And I want you to put your hand on their back. I want them to, feel something pushing them to keep stepping. I want something to keep, I want them to feel like they can't go backwards. You've come too far. You've come too far. Look at where God's brought you. Look at how far you've come. Don't quit now. Don't give up here. Don't think God has forsaken you. I've been young and I've been old. I've never seen God get somebody halfway there and then quit on them. I've never seen God do partial. He that began a good work in you will be faithful. Your hands on that person, you're in holding that person right now with your arm around them. I want you right now just to begin to speak over their life right where you are. I want you just to make an altar right where you are, right where you are, right where you are, right where you are. And I want you just to begin to speak strength for the walk, for the next step, for the next step, for the next step. I don't know where you are on the steps, but I declare you will not get stuck on the steps. I declare this, you may be at one stage and one step and you think, God, I've been here so long. Maybe this is it for me. I declare over your life in the name of Jesus that God's calling you higher. God's calling you deeper. God's calling you further. God's calling you from faith to faith and from glory to another level of glory. God just wants to know, will you take the next step? Will you take the next step? Will you take the next step? Don't you dare get stuck here. Don't you think that this is where and this is all there is. The devil is a liar. You have so much ahead of you. You have so much in store for you. There's something calling you higher. There's something calling you deeper. In the name of Jesus, I speak over my brother, my sister right now, and I speak strength to step forward, strength to make the next move, strength to trust you enough to take the next step and not quit here. To keep following you through the process. Ooh, I thank you, Father. Ooh, there's people being healed right now. There's people being delivered right now. There's changes happening. There's change, a transformation happening. Somebody, you're one step away from your suddenly. You're one step away from your manifestation. You're one step away from God doing what you've been waiting on. It's the walk that lets you know. It's that moment of endurance. It's that moment of faint that is the difference between faint and finish. It's the when you want to faint that lets you know you're at the finish. In the name of Jesus, I speak strength to not faint, to not quit. David said, I would have fainted had I not believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. There are moments I wanted to faint, but I couldn't faint because I believed his finish. I want you right now with that hand you're holding or that person you're praying for, I want you to declare he will complete this thing. I want you to just declare in the name of Jesus. Just speak the finished work of God in their life. Just speak the finish. Just speak the finish. I want you to release a finisher's anointing over them that they will not be quit. They will not give up, They will not throw in the towel. They will endure to the end. They will endure until they step into what he's stepping them towards. In the name of Jesus, I speak the finished work of God. I speak the completed thing, the fulfilled thing, the manifested promise of God over your life, over your family, over your home. I don't know what God's promised you, but I declare he will bring you into it. He is walking you into it. He is walking you into it. I know it may look like you're going in the complete opposite direction, but you just don't understand his path. He's leading you. He's taking you one step at a time. You're on your way. He will finish that work.
Thank you so much for tuning in to today's episode. We hope you enjoyed it. And please, if you would like to stay connected with Limitless Church, check us out on all social media platforms at LimitlessCHR. We'll see you next time.